WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz wants House Speaker Kevin McCarthy out of the leadership role after he worked with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. He called for a vote that will be held in the next few days.
I believe the basis for the motion to vacate is Kevin McCarthy's repeated breach of the agreement that he made in January. Just look at the breach that we've seen over the last few weeks. He blew past the pre-COVID spending top line he agreed to. He put a bill on the floor to fund the entire government without 72 hours to review it in violation of the agreement he made. He said that there would never be a bill on the floor of the House that spent more than $100 million without the opportunity for amendment. And yet the last continuing resolution violated that agreement as well.
Former President Donald Trump spent the day in court. CBS's Astrid Martinez reports on the day's proceedings.
Former President Donald Trump listened to hours of opening statements in the New York fraud lawsuit against him. Trump, his two adult sons, and his real estate company are accused of deceiving banks, insurers, and others by exaggerating wealth in financial statements.
9-year-old Charlotte Senna is safe after she disappeared while riding her bike during a family camping trip in upstate New York Saturday evening. A suspect is in custody. New York Governor Kathy Hochul provided more details during a news conference.
The little girl was found in a cabinet, cupboard. She was rescued. And she knew she was being rescued. She knew that she was in safe hands.
Hundreds of alleged victims of child abuse are suing the state of Maryland. Correspondent Adriana Diaz has more on the cases.
CBS News found more than a dozen reports over the last 6 decades that detail abuse in Maryland's juvenile detention.
Why not go after the perpetrators themselves?
Because the state put them in charge. And the people who read these reports, they could fix it. And I don't know why they didn't.
Attorney Sharon Iskra is leading lawsuits against the state, alleging it failed to protect children. Maryland's Attorney General's office says it cannot comment due to pending litigation.
The U.S. Postal Service has unveiled a forever stamp honoring the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Journalist and author of Dinners with Ruth, Nina Tottenberg.
She was, to her astonishment, and I would have to say, and her pleasure, something of a rock star to women and men of all ages. She was the subject of 2 movies, merchandise galore featuring her notorious RBG moniker.
Tottenberg was friends with Justice, who died in 2020 at the age of 87. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Bread Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs.
So do I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude.
I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and 3 TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my and, God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Don, back to work, man.
Trudy, happy Monday to you. I swear I just saw you yesterday. Okay, maybe that was Saturday. Hey, Nate, working the board. Good to see you. Happy Monday to our fair audience as well.
I share your opinion that we've spent way too much time together of late. Way too much.
Way too much time.
Really enjoyed the October festing in both Glendale and, of course, our beloved La Crosse. Had a hell of a good time. Great seeing your daughter. She snuck down from Winona State and hung out with her old man. It was a nice thing to see, Dom.
Yeah, thanks. Is all our friends that came out, great to see you all. All the new friends we met out late night in La Crosse, great to see everyone and meet everyone.
Most of them. Dom, you know, you kind of guilted me. I was coming home on Saturday, and my elder son said, "Hey, Dad, you want to take me and a buddy to a soccer game?" And I'm thinking, no, not really. But after observing the adoration you heaped upon your daughter, I'm like, well, you know, Dom could do it. But of course, that was that was during the drinking. That wasn't, you know, the day after the drinking. So it was hot out there at the soccer patch in Verona. Good win for Edgewood College, 2-0. Perhaps the first, last, and only
I see you did your duty,
collegiate man. Soccer game I'll ever go to. But I did it. I did it.
All
and
right.
Then Sunday, I did nothing. I had zero expectations, and I met it. But today, Dom, back to work. And, you know, I'm having a better day, I suspect, than Donald Trump.
Oof.
Not
oh,
on
poor Donald.
Trial. Were you a little surprised? And, you know, we'll devote a little more of hour two to the trial, I suspect, Dom. But were you at all surprised that Donald Trump showed up? The civil trial in New York.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised, but I guess, you know, seeing how he played it, you know, having his speeches and his rants during the breaks and at lunch or whatever, I guess I'm not too surprised. But it's easy for him to talk all sorts of trash outside the courtroom. You know, he is scheduled to be called as a witness in the civil trial. And if you, you know, take the Fifth, which he probably legally should do since there is a parallel, you know, what, case going on with the Manhattan DA. If you take the Fifth on a civil trial, you can have an adverse inference. You know, the judge can assume that, yep, you're guilty because you're taking the Fifth. You can't do that in a criminal case. So it's one thing to talk trash on the courthouse steps. It's another thing to talk trash when you're under oath.
Well, Dom, just a little of the coverage. First and foremost, trial day one in New York is over for the day. They ended 4:30 Eastern time. That's 3:30 Central. So they finished before we came on the air. So, you know, we can give you a little bit of coverage as the reporting comes in. But the first witness against Donald Trump, the Trump Organization accountant for years, when they lead with the accountant, isn't that going to be a problem for Trump?
You think so, man?
Longtime Trump Organization accountant, Donald Bender. Bender is the first witness in the Bender. New York Attorney General's $250 million fraud trial. He was responsible for preparing the allegedly fraudulent statements of financial condition that were used to present what the lawsuit says are inflated accounts of Trump's net worth to obtain favorable loan and insurance policy rates. So Bender was the first witness, and apparently Trump was in the courtroom and very attentive, paying close attention to him, conferring with counsel often.
Tapping his feet, clutching his fist, popping the Ritalin, I suspect, but you never know.
What else, Dom? What happened in our backyard? Well, there's a new lawsuit going on, isn't there?
There is, Crudy. Damn. And this one, you got to love it. Hope Carnop reporting Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. National voting-focused liberal law firm is turning to a federal judge in an effort to eliminate a requirement for Wisconsin voters to have a witness sign absentee ballot envelopes in order for the votes to count. The Elias Law Firm, Law Group, the Elias Law Group, filed a lawsuit in Western District, U.S. District Court in Monday that argues the state law violates the Federal Voting Rights Act, which prohibits requiring voters to prove their qualifications in order to vote. The federal lawsuit follows a similar challenge the group brought to the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this year following Justice Janet Protasiewicz's election in April, which flipped the court to liberal control, requiring absentee voters to state their qualifications and having the witness attest to those qualifications is a violation of the law, the group argued. A quote from the complaint: "The mere act of complying with the requirement is a substantial burden on plaintiffs' right to vote. The largest share of absentee ballot rejections occur in Wisconsin's largest municipalities, which are also the municipalities that have the largest shares of minority voters, recently naturalized voters, and student voters." Well, of course, Crudy. The complaint was made on behalf of four Wisconsin voters who find it difficult to get a witness due to circumstances like health risks, living alone, or frequently traveling overseas. The Wisconsin Elections Commission and the city clerks of Brookfield, Madison, and Janesville are named in the lawsuit. A WEC spokesman did not immediately return a request for comment. Group is also challenging a Waukesha County judge's findings that clerks cannot fill in missing information like witness addresses. That lawsuit, which also aims at a ruling that banned voters from using drop boxes to return absentee ballots, is now before the state Supreme Court's new liberal majority. Clerks often cite instances of absentee voters who failed to complete the witness address and the signature fields on the absentee envelope. New ballot envelope design approved by the WEC in August would add a warning icon to the witness certification section to reduce errors. The new designs would be put into use beginning in February 2024 spring primary. Complaint argues cities in Wisconsin have adopted different and inconsistent standards for witness addresses, resulting in ongoing threat that voters will be disenfranchised because of shifting local interpretations of the requirement. Crudy, 2 years ago, state auditors reviewed nearly 15,000 absentee ballots from 29 municipalities cast during the 2020 elections. More than 1,000 envelopes, or 7% of those sampled, held partial addresses for witnesses. Most of those were missing a zip code, but included other parts of the address. 15 lacked witness addresses entirely, 8 lacked witness signatures, and 3 lacked voter signatures. Envelopes without signatures should not be counted under state law.
So what do you think of this lawsuit? Mark Elias, a well-known, what would you call him, a liberal lawyer. He's out there doing the God's work, Tom.
Yes, how dare you, you know, make it easier for people to vote. Well, of course, this is, if you make the requirement, you're gonna, if someone's going to have an error and you have the opportunity to correct it, it's just about disenfranchising people, man. That's what it comes down to. That's all it comes down to. I mean, these Republicans should put their brains together with, you know, Democrats and make it easier for everyone to vote, to engage. We wouldn't have the polarity. We wouldn't have the partisanship that we do if everybody engaged.
Well, Dominic, it's not a question of engagement. Of course, playing devil's advocate for just a minute, it's a question of voter fraud. If you make it this easy, if I can vote on your behalf and no one has to attest or witness that ballot, how do you know the actual person has voted? If you go to the polling place, you got to present your voter ID, right? You got to prove who you are, whether or not I like that Wisconsin law. That is the law of the land. This voter ID, or pardon me, this absentee ballot, absent a attesting witness, Dom, how would you know, according to the logic that everybody's trying to screw the system and vote 2, 3, 10 times, fraud and ballot harvesting, Dom, how would you ever convince the righties that this is not just an effort of a liberal attorney to help Democrats steal the next election as well? You know, that's how it's going to play on right-wing talk radio.
Sure, man, and it's not my responsibility to try to convince the crazies that the conspiracies that they believe is actually reality. I mean, if you're down, if you're going to do this, if you're going to commit voter fraud, look at what some of these Republican activists did, right? They asked for vote. You have to ask for it, right? You got to provide, name and all those things. You have to, there's a process to go through to get the absentee ballot.
And we also know that there were,
if you want to do that, you can write in your witness signature if you're so inclined. So let's just stop with all the BS. If someone forgets to put a zip code on, now you're going to throw out their ballot when they did everything else properly? That's a bunch of bunk, man. You should, you know, assume that things are righteous.
But those are two separate issues. As pointed out, Dom, there is a lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, a newly elected liberal on the court. Well, she could very well decide, along with her colleagues, that that's not good law, right? But that's a differing issue. That's different than whether or not absentee ballots should have witnesses. And the question, you know, and I know Elias is doing this on behalf of the Democrats, but of course the question, I'm not trying to satisfy the MAGA base, but so many people are of the impression that it's stolen and they're trying to harvest the ballots and whatever the case may be. Would it not be better to see the correction of the witness signatures because a lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court says, you know what, there is no there. If someone's just simply correcting a zip code or trying to bring the witness information into compliance, or let's just say with the basic witness information, you know, absent even a zip code, you could still count that ballot. I'd be all down for that. But I'm less convinced that it's good politics to seek to totally eliminate the need for a witness.
Well, good thing is, this is in court. It's not a political issue at this time. This is a court filing, Crudy. So this isn't, you know, Wisconsin Dems as a part of the lawsuit on this thing. And I got to tell you, man, there's nothing that you've said in what you're saying to convince me that if someone's going to go through the process of voter fraud, that they wouldn't just fraudulently fill out the witness part. You know what I mean? What are you kidding me? All of a sudden now they're going to get, you know, cold feet. Come on, man. If that's what they're going to do, they're going to do it. Just look at what the Republican activists have done.
Now, you notice the difference here. This has been filed in the Western U.S. District Court. That is a federal court. That's not the Wisconsin courts. So anyways, I draw a distinction. Come back with us. It's a Monday edition. Kind of feeling chill today. Had a good weekend. Hope you did as well. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Enjoy those mostly clear skies in the overnight. 64 degrees, light south winds. However, that south breeze up around 25 during the day Tuesday. Mostly sunny skies and up to 84. Tuesday night, especially after midnight, a chance of some showers and thunderstorms. Currently 71 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Mother.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always be a part, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, only one regret that I have. Well, a couple. But only one I want to talk about today. Here's my regret. In our quest to provide ongoing great sports coverage right here on Civic Media, and can I point out, we've got your wildcard Brewers playing on our flagship, WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM, starting tomorrow night, 6:08, first pitch. Also, Wednesday, 6:08, and if necessary, to eliminate the Arizona Diamondbacks, we will play a third game at 6:08 on Thursday, and we will play them out right here on the Civic Media Network on WISS, WRCE, that's Richland Center, and 98 The Q up in the Northwood. So if you're going up to the cabin, we've got your wild card games for you. But here's my regret, Dom, my one regret. In my eagerness to provide the greatest Brewers coverage in the Fox Valley, we have provided Brewers coverage to Congressman Glenn Grothman and his district, all the fine listeners there in the lower Fox Valley, Dom. But it kind of bothers me to know that when Glenn and I go to bed listening to the Brewers, we're listening to the very, very same broadcast.
That's not a thing that brings people together, man.
Okay, for now, we will allow it to be a good thing. Go all Brewers, right. Cheer for them. Yes. Unfortunately, Brandon Woodruff out for the series. Oof. That's troubling. That's one of our ace pitchers. It's a short series, man. You want your ace. You only get like two cracks at him, maybe three tops. But anyways, Dom, got a little piece here. Our buddy, John Nichols, over at the Cap Times. Grothman impeaches the House GOP. Oh, Glenn. I'm going to start this one, Dom. House U.S. Rep. Glenn Grothman is not a great orator. Nor is he a masterful legislative strategist. Yeah. Oh, John, you could say that again. For the most part, the Republican representative from the town of Greenbush in Sheboygan County just shows up, votes the party line, and hopes he doesn't make another gaffe. That sounds like our Glenn. But every now and then, Grothman stumbles into the light and provides a moment of clarity regarding the workings of the dysfunctional Congress in which he serves, even if he does so unintentionally. Such was the case last week when the representative participated in the House Oversight Committee's first public hearing on the scheming by gang that couldn't shoot straight Republicans to impeach President Joe Biden. That's hard to say, John. Usually when an impeachment inquiry is launched, the House members who are pursuing it make reasonably precise accusations and provide at least some facts to back him up. Pardon me. Even if members of the Congress and the general public may disagree about the process, an effort is made to suggest that charges have been thought through with at least a measure of seriousness, Dom.
Curdy, but that didn't happen when the Oversight Committee convened on Thursday in a packed hearing room on Capitol Hill. The hearing was so disorganized and unfocused that even conservative commentators who despise Biden were ridiculing the Republicans for their lack of preparation. And legal analysts were merciless. Jeffrey Robin, the former chief counsel for the minority of the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, said the inauspicious opening for the proceedings really does create the impression that this is throwing spaghetti against the wall, hoping some of it will stick. That's where Grossman came in. While some Republicans attempted to suggest that there was a point to their inquiry, Grossman, in his opening statement, simply admitted, quote, "We have all kinds of smoke, maybe no fire." Let me repeat that. We have all kinds of smoke, maybe no fire. Glenn Grossman.
You can cast aspersions, but you can't back them up?
The Wisconsin Republican wasn't trying to undermine the project, but his unwitting acknowledgement of reality showed up in news reports across the U.S. and around the world because it so succinctly summed up the failure of the Biden accusers to make a case for impeachment. Grossman's remarks were packaged in the news reports with those from two of the witnesses that Republicans called to frame the proceedings. The witnesses were supposed to inspire confidence in the impeachment process. Instead, forensics accountant Bruce Dubinsky, a GOP invitee, suggested there was insufficient evidence to determine whether the president did anything to meet the corruption standard that might reasonably be demanded to identify malfeasance. Quote, "I'm not here today to even suggest that there was corruption, fraud, or wrongdoing," he testified. "More information needs to be gathered before I can make such an assessment." Then, law professor Jonathan Turley, a frequent Republican witness of at past impeachment sessions, threw another bucket of water on the GOP effort to link Biden to the tawdry business dealings of his scandal-plagued son, Hunter. Quote, "I do not believe that the current evidence would support articles of impeachment," said Turley. Turley, Dubinsky, and Grossman all tried to suggest that Republicans might eventually come up for a rationale for their inquiry, but their inability to do so on Thursday led Maryland Rep. Jamie Raskin, former constitutional law professor, who now serves as the Oversight Committee's ranking member, to observe, quote, "We have the sound? Let's hear what Raskin had to say about the smoking gun, Nate, if you would, please."
Just 1 second.
I think
if the Republicans had a smoking gun or even a dripping water pistol, they would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden.
You got nothing. You got nothing. John Nichols over at the Cap Times, of course, at the Nation magazine. And that's Grossman, you know, accidentally saying the whole thing. Oh, we got lots of smoke, but there's no fire. All the what? What an embarrassment.
You got to infer the evidence, Tom.
Is that how it goes?
If you just look, you know, somewhere, squint a little, infer a little. Looking for clear, obvious stuff, you're not going to find it here, Tom. Wes from Middleton, texting, "Thank God for the FM translator. AM signal has a hard time getting down into Glenn's mom's basement." Hope you're listening, Congressman. I hope you all are. Tell your friends, Devil's Advocates, come on. And don't forget, Ma, the meatloaf. Come back. You can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Sort of a chill Monday.
You got nothing.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Republican lawmaker Matt Gaetz made good on his threat to try to force House Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his leadership position, calling for a vote that will be held in the coming days.
If the Democrats want to own Kevin McCarthy, they can have it.
McCarthy said on social media, bring it on. Former President Donald Trump spent hours in a New York City courtroom. CBS's Astrid Martinez explains why.
During the day, Trump lashed out against the judge in the non-jury trial and New York Attorney General Letitia James. She is seeking $250 million in penalties and a ban on Trump doing business in New York.
A suspect is in custody and a 9-year-old girl is safe after she was kidnapped in upstate New York. Governor Kathy Hochul on the investigation.
There had been a DWI in 1999 in the city of Saratoga. A fingerprint was found that matched what was found on the ransom note.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, bad news for one audience member, great news for everybody else. I'm sorry, but I banned CJ for 30 days.
What happened?
Had a conversation with the powers that be around here and kind of put our heads together and said he never adds to the conversation. And, you know, there are those of us that aren't afraid to give CJ the back of our hand. But
rhetorically speaking, of course.
But, you know, that's still not good radio. So, you know, stop trolling, CJ.
Is that just the greatest radio show ever? Is that a network wide ban?
Well, I'm only banning them from our little network, Dom.
Okay. All right.
I would say I recommend that everyone follow suit. I strongly recommend.
Leading by example. Yes,
I am leading by example for the other great hosts here at Civic Media so they can stop wasting their time taking this guy's phone calls. I told him, try us back in November. 844. The rest of you, you're all welcome. Every single one of you, even other CJs, not the bad CJ. Because we do have other CJs.
And other conservatives, right? I mean, this isn't a thing it's against not a conservative thing. Or whatever issues. This is just a CJ thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
okay, specifically, the bad CJ thing.
The bad CJ thing.
D-bag of the year 2022 champion, recipient of a awarded. He's known in infamy.
He is a tool that has outlived his usefulness. He has been blunted, and I'm throwing him in the back of the drawer for a month. 844. Everybody else, you're welcome right now, though.
All right.
Feel pretty absolutely. Chill. You know, I just actually, I'm feeling even better now that we've.
It's amazing.
It's like it's you like can't.
Wait. The smell of sulfur is gone.
Yes. The air, much better. The air quality is great here, man. I told you, I'm feeling really chilled today. 844-967-2789. Ken Bob from Dailyville, our favorite Ken Bob. You're always welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ken Bob.
Oh, I'm going way back to the beginning of the show when we were talking about the signatures on the S&P ballots.
Yes.
And I just, I'm really with Don on that because it's actually a lot easier to forge a witness's signature than it is to forge the voter signature because the voter signature is on file as a registered voter and they are compared. I have worked on the, in an election thing and they compare all the signatures. So if you're faking a signature of a witness, you can pick a name out of a phone book and write that stuff down, and they've got nothing to compare it to. So I'm just saying that if you're really a crook, the current, having that witness attesting isn't really going to stop anybody.
But Ken Bob, nor do I believe that is the case. In fact, it is a felony to commit a singular case of voter fraud. And the only one that would ever consider doing so are really Republicans. That's most of the track record, individual cases of voter fraud, almost uniformly Republicans of late. But here's the point, Ken Bob. You know, they don't quite live in the same reality that we'd like to think we do. You know, the reality based by facts and evidence. Just ask Glenn Grothman. You know, smoke's enough for them. So here's my only qualm, Ken Bob. It's not that I don't agree with my buddy Dominic, but playing the devil's advocate, trying to satisfy the entire electorate, not just those of us that, you know, find our basis in fact and rational thinking, Ken Bob. But how do we bring the rest of the electorate along? If Elias is successful in this suit in the federal courts and they somehow strip back this, well, I don't think this makes more confidence or allows us to move beyond 2020 or whenever 2024 hits the books, man. We're not going to be able to move past 2024 if they say, see, that's where they stole the election from Trump this time.
Well, I guess I don't expect to win the MAGA's over. All we need is 51%. And if we're throwing out students and immigrants and older people and everyone who has a little bit more trouble dealing with all that bureaucracy, that's a win for the Republicans.
Well, you understand, Ken Bob, actually Jim Troupas and the Republicans tried to throw out 200,000 absentee ballots, including the absentee ballot of Jim Troupas and his wife.
They were to martyr their own vote, man.
So,
right. I mean, and that's you just nailed their strategy. All they want to do is throw out ballots and as long as they get to pick sort of which ones they are. They're not in it for debate, and we're not bringing them along. They just want to be able to cheat.
Well, I'm going to leave it to the state courts, because the state courts, I'm feeling a little better. Like we might have a fair hearing before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You know, let's say they win in the Western District, the district court level of the federal courts. Well, eventually, you know, they'll go to the Ninth District and probably get a favorable ruling. But then you throw it back to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know if I like my chances before the U.S. Supreme Court. Ken Bob, because this is an important enough issue, this one might get taken up.
Yeah, you got a good point there.
So let's leave it to the newly reconfigured and rebalanced to the point of sanity and rational thought, I would hope, Ken Bob. Let's throw it to the state courts. That's just one man's chill opinion on a Monday, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, I get it, Curdy, but that's not where it was filed. It was filed in federal court. But what about the...
There is a case before the state Supreme Court, though. You realize a two-track on this
one. Yes, gotcha. Requiring absentee voters to state their qualifications and having the witness attest to those qualifications, violation of the Voting Rights Act. I mean, that's the premise. What at first blush, regardless of whether or not you can convince the megas or whoever that this is the law and this is how it should be or not should be, what's your position on Elias's point that these are attesting to qualifications that goes against the Voting Rights Act?
Well, my position would be I don't agree with the Supreme Court's ruling on voter ID. I think that the Wisconsin Constitution is unique and it says that you cannot put any hurdle between the act of registering to vote and voting. And a voter ID is an additional step. It's a hurdle that should be unconstitutional, to my opinion, under Wisconsin's constitution. Now, the Supreme Court basically threw it back and said, no, we're going to accept it. Or you don't have standing, if I remember specifically, why Kennedy never properly took this up, other than the fact his son worked for Deutsche Bank and apparently was Trump's banker. That might have little or no relevance, or maybe a lot. We don't know precisely. But anyways, I don't want to leave it to the U.S. Supreme Court to decide, because I already think it should be unconstitutional under Wisconsin law. So let's let Wisconsin courts decide. That would be my thought.
844-967-2789. Matt from Johnson's Creek, you are next. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hey guys, so I'm 100% in agreement with Crute. Like, this, my issue with this goes all the way back to the voter ID. And what I hope, one of these pleadings will finally get to the point that all of this stuff is basically the inverse of presumption of innocence and the burden of proof. Why is it when it comes to voting that the burden of proof all of a sudden shifts from the state to the citizen and the presumption of innocence evaporates? And you're basically saying, I need to prove that I'm innocent before I would potentially commit a crime. It doesn't work like that in everyday life, right? Like, and it, we certainly, if you always, I always like to throw it back to the MAGAs, like, fine, you put in those hurdles, if you want to call them hurdles, to voting, then let's have the same issue with maybe registering to get a weapon, right? Like, they never want to be.
Oh, slow down, Matt. Slow down.
Yeah, I know, right? God forbid we have any sort of consistency. And the other thing they'll do is they'll try to throw in buying liquor or buying cigarettes, right? They'll say, well, you need to flash an ID. Well, that's not actually true either. What that is the purveyor, the retailer, protecting themselves from partaking in the crime of selling something to somebody unlawfully, right? These attestations, these voter IDs, all of this is saying, hey, we're going to assume you're breaking the law, and then you can go ahead and try to prove it before a crime is ever committed. I wish somebody would make that argument.
Well, Matt, here's the argument that was made. It was before Posner, and I think it was the federal courts when the first voter ID came out in Indiana. And the federal judge Posner, is my understanding, actually has taken a totally different opinion on this in retrospect. But even then, man, his opinion was effectively people have to prove it. But the difference between Indiana, which is where Posner ruled, was Indiana made it so much easier. They expanded what would constitute a voter ID. They opened up the DMVs. They allowed people to actually acquire what it would be that they would need, this new quote unquote hurdle. And, you know, strangely, Matt, the vast majority of Wisconsinites still think voter ID, pardon me, summer allergies or fall allergies kicking my ass, but still thinks voter ID should be part of it, Matt. You know, so the vast majority of our friends and family members feel like that's the case. It's been run up and down the legal litigation flagpole enough times, Matt. I just don't know that we're going to be able to overcome it. But the biggest difference is the Republicans here in Wisconsin made it harder to vote, made it harder to get the ID. And that was their effort. So you talk about the presumption. Well, our presumption, my presumption, because I heard Dale Schultz tell it to me, is they meant to be malfeasant. And when they were in the caucus meeting and they were salivating about how much more difficult it would be for a college student to vote, how they could make it harder for the college kids, guys like now Congressman Glenn Grothman, former Senator Alberta Darling, there were people salivating at the mouth of the idea of sticking it to the college kids through making it harder because, of course, they didn't allow student IDs to vote. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dom, concealed carry permits were acceptable, voter ID, were they not?
I think at one point, that is my recollection, but you know my recollection. Crudy, just real quick on this very topic, New York Times back in October 15th of 2013, almost 10 years ago, judge in landmark case disavows support
That's
for
Posner.
Voter ID. Yeah, Posner, one of the most distinguished judges in the land, member of the United States Court of Appeals in the Seventh Circuit, saying he was mistaken. He was mistaken in one of the most contentious issues in American politics and jurisprudence, laws that require people to show identification before they can vote. I plead guilty to having written the majority opinion in the case. He noted that the Indiana law in the Crawford case is a type of law now widely regarded as a means of voter suppression rather than of fraud prevention.
Yeah, but that's not what they claimed. In the federal voter ID lawsuit here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, if I recall properly, I believe it was our interview with Dale Schultz and now Attorney General Josh Call was then an attorney at Perkins Coie, I believe. And they used that interview with the former twice elected Republican Senate Majority Leader, basically calling out his caucus in real time on the greatest radio show ever. And that was what? March of 14, approximate time frame that happened, Dom. And Dale remains a friend. And I expressed, you know, that day I was calling into Righty Whitey Talk Radio and trying to teach him a thing or two about, you know, why the maps are rigged, because that's something else that our friend Dale Schultz told us. Effectively, they took him off campus. They didn't show him the totality of what these newly formed, these newly configured maps would do to all Republican voting districts, but they said, hey, good news, Dale, you'll be a couple plus R. You'll be a couple points better off. You'll like these new districts. Just sign right here on your NDA, your non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
At this off-campus facility, and these maps drawn by Foley and Laudner, which somehow have cast forward for a dozen years. Oh yeah, the least change of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And, you know, that one ran all the way up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court, if you'll recall. And they sent it back and effectively told Hagedorn, change your vote. The 4-3, the swing vote, Hagedorn came back and reversed his decision because they said, find a different conclusion. And the only other one he could find was to effectively accept the vetoed Republican legislative maps because that was the only option left before the court. My memory, not half bad for a guy who parties his ass off on the weekends.
Not too bad, Curdy.
I'm sure I got something wrong, but I doubt it. 844-967-2789. We try to keep you up with the history of how this evolved, Dom, because it's been a decade or more of malfeasant Republican leadership right here in the state. We've been watching and talking about it on the radio each and every day. Come back. We'll do more of that.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Enjoy those mostly clear skies in the overnight. 64 degrees, light south winds. However, that south breeze up around 25 during the day Tuesday. Mostly sunny skies and up to 84. Tuesday night, especially after midnight, a chance of some showers and thunderstorms. Currently 71 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, going to the phone lines right now, Jim from Genesee's. Jim, welcome. Where are you at, man? I got abbreviated. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jim.
Ah, awesome, man. So hey, what do you got for us?
Well, you just covered a bunch of what I was going to say about the districts wherein basically the Wisconsin State Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court both said, no, those are unconstitutional, redraw them, except, oh, it's too close to the election, so don't do it now. And the Republicans sat on their thumbs and refused to do it at all. But the other thing I wanted to bring up was, does anybody else find it kind of disingenuous how hard they're pushing for the voter ID, and yet they have no problems at all reaching over and voting for their colleague who is out raising money for his campaign and can't be on the floor to vote right now, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Which colleague? Who are we talking about, Jim?
Well, it's generally the Republicans that get caught on camera reaching over to vote for somebody who's not on the actual floor to vote for some bill that they've got up.
Jim, you remember when Joel Clayfish served in the state legislature? Joel is a good friend of mine, and I mean that in all sincerity. I love Joel. But Joel was on This Week Tonight with John Oliver, and I called him up at his house, and I said, Joel, you've just been featured on a national show, and he was basically reaching down and voting for like three different people, which happens in the U.S. Congress, happens in the Senate. I'm not saying it's a good thing, Jim. It happens. But anyways, right. Joel got eviscerated by John Oliver, and he said, how bad is it? I said, it's real bad. And Joel, to this day, still does a little radio show on this network, raised in the Wisco. He is a hell of a radio host. But, yeah, it was strange how often Republicans would have to cast votes in absentia for their buddies who were smoking one in the cloakroom or whatever they were doing.
Whatever it was. But that's perfectly okay in their minds, but everybody's got to prove 100 different ways of who they are before they can go and vote.
Well, I love how they always use the Sudafed thing. Like, you got to have an ID to get Sudafed. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because people make meth out of that, man. You know?
Well, maybe they're comparing voting to meth.
Well, what is it? The opiate of the masses?
That's religion. Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it, man. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Dom would have to put that one off there. I think the Republicans, they also want to get a constitutional amendment in there to make voter ID constitutionally required here in the state of Wisconsin. If memory serves, I think I heard that within the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's been reported on this fine program.
And that I think that the whining wheel we'll hear from CJ and some of the other programs is going to just intensify now, because he is constantly whining about he doesn't get enough time to talk, but he's the only caller that actually calls all you guys liars. I mean, he's called you guys liars. He's called a Maggie a liar. That I think he's called Matt Flynn a liar. Todd Alba, he's called a liar. that, and actually just calling him a liar. Well, you're lying. And I mean that, and it just, the intellectual dishonesty there is just, it might be a welcome relief for us not to hear him, but.
yeah, Mark, I think it might be, man. Hey, thanks for calling me. We've got a bunch of people holding. Want to get to them before the top of the hour. We appreciate it.
CJ won't be one of them, though.
2789.
Banned for pumpkin spice season. No CJ or pumpkin spice on this show, please.
Let's see. I think Alex from Madison. You are next. Welcome, Alex. What do you got for us?
Hey, Alex.
I'm so glad I caught it. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Welcome.
Great, great. So I'm at Aldi's right now in Madison, and I am a first-time, long-time listener, first-time caller. First of all, glad CJ is gone. That guy was just grating on my nerves. Two, I was listening to The View this morning, and it was a senator, House rep from South Carolina, Nancy Mace. She's calling this thing that just went over on the weekend, the Schumer shutdown. You get a chance to check out The View yesterday, or rather this morning, you're going to be amazed. The only one that stuck up and debated and talked about how much Nancy Mace was disgraceful was Whoopi Goldberg. The rest of them were so dumbfounded at how she spoke.
Alex, did you see Kevin McCarthy try to make a similar lie on CBS morning on Sunday morning, and the caster just laughed right in his face, like nobody believes this was a Democratic shutdown.
Oh my Lord! I mean, Nancy Mace, I've heard of her, and I have to say this: she's a very attractive woman from South Carolina, and the stuff that she was spewing was so ridiculous. That I think that all the women on The View, they were so dumbfounded, they were speechless. And none of those ladies are speechless. They could not even believe it. And finally, after they woke up, this is what happens with the conservative party. They will say stuff that's so ridiculous that I think they catch people unprepared. And I will tell you, you get a chance, check out The View this morning, and you're going to see that The View, those ladies, all of them are really smart. They were completely dumbfounded. And that lady is, because she's who she is, she'll probably wind up. And they asked her if she would vote for Trump. She said, sure, she would.
Alex, got to cut you short, man. Kind of loud at the Aldi there, man. But please keep listening and contributing. We appreciate when we get fine callers like you. Annie from Watertown, be a good one. Help us wrap up this hour strong.
Hi, Annie.
Well, there's a thing about, you know, okay, there came a point now they wouldn't accept my ballot if my son took it in. They changed it that I had to bring in my absentee ballot. They changed it. And the whole idea of not being able to sue because you don't have standing. Now, my question is, you know, a lot of smart people and everything like that. The question I haven't heard addressed is this that Supreme Court thing with the person not wanting to do an internet thing for gay marriages and everything, and it turns out they did not have standing by all the requirements. Okay, is that a precedent now that there's no longer the requirement for all these complicated, you have to have standing in order to sue for your rights?
Yeah, they hardly seem like constitutional originalists, Annie, because I always thought that was a big deal. Like, you had to be harmed. There had to be a specific circumstance. And, you know, we've talked to a few smarter legal minds than Dom or I, and, you know, apparently it's valid if the Supreme Court says it's valid, right? And that other term, and I'm no legal scholar, Annie, but stare decisis, the precedent that if you rule this way once, that should be followed consistently. You know, in similar cases, people should find a similar ruling. Well, if you'll recall, that very case in affirmative action came out back-to-back days, and they couldn't even coordinate their thoughts on back-to-back days of the Supreme Court. But the good news is, Annie, they're back in session.
Great.
The new Supreme Court session started today. Happy fall. Come back with us. More of your phone calls. Hour two, the happier happy hour.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the wild west of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.